Also, to Microsoft, we are available for promotions, live reads, sponsorships. Also, Apple, we have no loyalty.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of American DC, DC Edition. I wish I had thought about that better before we did that. my name is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
Oh man, I mislabeled this too. This is all, I'm a mess. But we are here in the Microsoft offices in DC in Friendship Heights, which is a cool name for a neighborhood. And we are here talking with Almina Korikawa. No, man, I had it. Karakiwala. Man.
Yeah.
Karakiwala.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
That's you gotta write the second time.
Eventually. we are here talking. She is on the board of Emerge Maryland, which is a political action group that works to support female
candidates yeah.
and work on supporting female leadership. But you also work at Microsoft in events and marketing for Microsoft Retail.
I do.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, please. Thanks for opening up your space to us.
Of course.
Let's dive into Microsoft for a second. You are working with marketing with events and for retail, mainly in the DC, or is that more of a local national thing? Or?
Yeah, national and international. So I oversee all of the events, product launches, store openings for retail stores for Microsoft across the globe.
Have you been working with Microsoft for a long time?
I've been with Microsoft for about 4 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And marketing has been your forte throughout your career, or has that been shifting?
Yeah, I studied political science, and that's what originally brought me to the Washington, D.C. area. So I had a background in politics, and I worked on Capitol Hill. Then I transitioned to public relations and communications and events. And so that's kind of how my journey took me to marketing and now events with Microsoft.
Can you walk us through what caused that shift? You were working, like, what were you doing on the Hill first?
Sure. Yeah, I'm from Southern California. I grew up there and went to college there. And right after I graduated, I had an internship with Senator Boxer from California on Capitol Hill.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, it was awesome, and I came out to DC and I worked for her for a couple weeks, and sort of right time, right place, and I guess they liked me, so they offered me a full time job. So I stayed in DC, and that was about 12 years ago. So I've been in this area since.
Was that a big shift from you from LA, Southern California?
It
to
was.
DC area?
It was. It's really. It's you know, East Coast and West Coast are really different. And it was hard because I didn't know anybody, and my family was all based in California, and it was a change, and I thought I'd just be here for one summer, which ended up turning into much longer. So, you know, it was difficult, but I made friends and started to build my network, and I really love it here.
Politics is an interesting sphere that within the South Asian culture and the South Asian community, we don't see a ton. There's obviously Bobby Jindal and, like, some of the big name thing, but, like, having people working in offices a lot, in my perception, there's not a ton of that. Is that correct? Am I wrong? There is actually more.
No, I think you are correct, and I think there is a shift a bit towards Indian Americans running for office, serving in public office, and when we come together as a group, we can have a lot of impact. But historically, I think Indian Americans haven't been as active politically. But there is a lot of power there, whether it's fundraising, volunteering, voting. So I think there is a lot of opportunity for us to potentially elect more Indian Americans, for us to be more active in the political process.
Candidates. What about actually people serving, like, as campaign workers or, you know, aides and stuff like that? Was there a lot of South Asians working in those kind of positions?
This might be a generalization. I mean, I think there are some, but probably not a lot.
Right.
Public service by no means is not a lucrative career,
Right.
monetarily wise. And I think just generally a lot of South Asians probably feel a lot of pressure from their families for really high performing, demanding careers that that are traditionally very well paid.
Can I ask you this? You said we're kind of a fragmented group. What do you think? Why are we fragmented, and what would it take to bring us together?
I think because people are just not engaged. I think that, you know, they, like, you know, all of us, we're busy. We go around our regular lives, and Indians haven't come together and supported candidates all in one voting block. I mean, there's a lot of different issues that that they might be concerned with, but I think that's why you haven't seen a lot of force like you have in sort of maybe other groups. The Jewish population.
I was like, what was that pause for? You don't work in Hollywood. Yeah. Say what you got to say.
They're an important group to be courted and to raise money from and to be supported by politicians. And I think we have just as much power.
Well, it is an interesting thing that we've been talking about recently, that the generation above us tends to be very different politically than the generation that we find ourselves in, that there's quite a big schism between ideals. And I wonder, as that becomes, you know, as more of us are in our generation keep growing, and as we have kids, I wonder if that'll start shifting, and maybe there will be more of a unity in the ideals.
I think so. I hope so.
Did it ever feel weird for you, or ever feel isolating for you, being South Asian, working in a sphere where there wasn't that many, or did the work kind of transcend the identity issues?
To me, you know, growing up in California is very diverse, and I had a lot of friends of a lot of different backgrounds, and so for me I didn't see it that way. Okay. I just saw, you know, people of a lot of different backgrounds that kind of did what they loved.
So what allowed, or what caused you to leave? And was it, what caused you to leave, to go to shift into other things?
Yeah, I think it's opportunity. Okay. And so I was looking for a change and something a little more challenging. And I sort of just took the first thing that came my way, which was a job in public relations. And I was at a small firm for about 8 years, and I got to learn and experience so much. I worked at a small business, and I worked for a woman minority business owner. And so working in a small business compared to where working in a global corporation like I do today is very different, because I did so much, everything from HR to operations to client services. But it really gave me an opportunity to learn a lot as well.
Was PR a massive shift from the work that you were doing with Senator Boxer?
In a way it was, but there were, you know, there's a whole set of transferable skills, including being a good communicator, knowing how to write, being sort of just detailed and skilled logistically. And so the transition, it was a large transition, but I didn't find it too difficult.
And then was it just another opportunity that came around when you were just looking for another shift when you came to Microsoft?
Yeah, it was a friend of a friend who kind of reached out and said, "Oh, Microsoft's looking for someone in the East Coast area to take on this role, opening new stores for Microsoft." And it sounded kind of interesting, and it was a lot more focused. I was doing a lot of different things in my role before, and now I get to focus just on events, which I love, and I get to work for a major company.
And real money.
She's not denying it, though.
Yeah, that's of course.
Microsoft is a very good company to work for if they treat their employees very well.
Microsoft's been going through a lot of shifts. I mean, it's been going through, it's like kind of, Microsoft was like the king before for many, many years, and I don't know if they're still, but there's got to be, has that affected what you guys do? Have you guys had to become more adaptable? Has there been a ton of things to navigate?
Absolutely, and our CEO, Satya Nadella, who is Indian, who grew up in India, came on about 2 years ago, and since he's been with the company, it's been amazing, because there's been a willingness and openness to talk about things that we never talked about before.
Like, that's interesting. So you were here before, and then after.
Exactly.
What's the biggest shift? Is that openness? And do you think you could accredit that to having a person of color as the CEO?
I think that, yeah, there has been a shift in openness, and a couple other things that we focus on as a company, including, you know, our mission statement to empower every person on the planet to achieve more using our products. So when we're making our products, it's not about us making our products and people just having access to them. It's what people are doing as individuals with those products, what they're creating, what they're using them for. And, you know, when I first started, there was a very set mindset on, okay, we're not going to talk about our competitors. We're not going to talk about people who use Macs or iPhones because they only focus on, they're not our customers. But the reality is so many of our customers also use our competitor products. And right. So one of the first things Satya did was a CEO was open up Office for iPad.
Can't help but notice the phone you got. Ain't no Windows on that bad boy.
Yeah, well, actually, there are quite a few Microsoft products that work on iPhones.
And that
was a shift, and the shift in mindset.
Okay. And, is that the type of things, the openness about the things you're willing to talk about? That's like some of the things you're willing to talk about?
As a company.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And how our customers also use other products and how we should tap into them. And so that was a major piece.
I always wonder if you have someone, you know, who's the CEO before?
Steve Ballmer.
He was Bomb.
Yeah, like, he's busy ruining the Clippers, right?
Right. Of course. So was he, American-born guy, and now you have someone born in India. Microsoft has always been a global company, but have you seen a shift in what that, like a really different kind of attention to global community, or
I'll give you a really specific example. Last summer, we launched Windows 10, and it's a free product upgrade from what you might be using before. And our CEO didn't want to be in Redmond in Seattle celebrating the launch of that product. He wanted to go to kind of a different part of the world to see how far-reaching Windows could be. And so we spent time abroad looking at how in small villages in various other countries, people are using Windows because it has reached so many people across the globe.
So where did you guys end? You guys launched in many different spots, or was there like one main launch event?
It was truly a global launch event.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Was that really fun to work on?
It was quite the experience. It was difficult and stressful, and for me personally, it was just a learning and growing experience, and had kind of the confidence of my peers and leadership to try and execute something I'd never done before, and it was hard, but it was really rewarding when it was successful at the end.
I'm getting a sense from you based on you growing up in the diverse community and talking about how when you went into Congress, you weren't necessarily saying, oh, wow, I'm the only South Asian or Indian person here. But I'm wondering, has it meant something to now have someone of your ethnic background reflected by being in a seat of power? That's the first part of the question.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember the day when they announced who the new CEO was, and I didn't know him. And then I saw a photo, and then I saw him speak and was really inspired. And you think about when I look around and I think about the leadership of the company I work for, if I think about the elected officials that represent me, I want them to really reflect me too,
right?
Whether they're women or whether they're Indian, South Asian, that I feel like there is that representation, and it looks like what the community looks like. It looks like what the people who work for the company are.
I don't know if you could speak to this, because this is a little bit of a tangential question, but there are now been an influx of several South Asian CEOs of companies. I know Pepsi, Google, Microsoft, I think there might be a few others. They've talked often about that there's a like management ceiling for people of color, minority people. What do you think has allowed South Asians to break through that? Has it actually been more easy for that community, or is it just these are outlier situations?
I don't think it's been easy for our community. I mean, I think it's the same thing when you look at women or you look at other ethnic backgrounds or other people of color. I mean, the reality is at the C-suite level, the numbers are very low. And so it is still challenging for many, people of color, for women, for South Asians. But I think a lot of how the South Asians that you mentioned got to where they are, hard work and opportunity.
So it would be a false narrative to say that it's been easier for the South Asian community to get there.
In my opinion, I think so.
Okay, cool. Let's talk a little bit, if we can transition to your work with Emerge Maryland.
Sure.
When did that Well, at first, can you speak broadly about what it is to us?
Sure. So let me tell you a little bit about sort of my political background and
go for it.
Kind of how I got
We hold
involved.
Space here at American Daisies. You can say whatever you want.
All right. So actually, I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., and we have a very active Democratic local party, which I've been involved in and active in, and a couple years ago ran for elected office locally and served on the Montgomery County Democratic Central Committee for 4 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sort of.
That's an elected position?
That's an elected position, and what the Central Committee does is we're the governing body of the Democratic Party.
Oh, wow.
So we work and help to get Democrats elected and hold office.
Was that the first campaign you'd run for, that you'd been a...
Yeah, that was the first campaign. It's pretty exciting to see your name on the ballot and actually get to vote for yourself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I served on the committee for 4 years. That was one term. And then I ran for re-election about 2 years ago. And through the process of the primary... two candidates could be elected and three people were running for the seat. And I came in third. So I lost my seat during that election. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people who were really surprised because I had a lot of support. I'd been active on the committee. I had a lot of people thought I was going to be the next party chair of the committee for the local Democratic Party. And I'd worked really hard during the election to make sure that people knew who I was and get my name out there. And it's one of the races that's on the very last on the ballot. So there were a lot of kind of speculations and questions after the election. What happened? We thought you were going to win. I don't understand. I don't know. But, one of the things are the race is pretty low visibility. But on the other hand, if you look at the other names on the ballot and then you look at my name and you think about sort of the general demographic in the area and the people voting, my name's a little bit different. And so I think that's why I lost.
I'd love to ask about the community in which you live in now. What is it relatively diverse? Is it not?
I live... right outside Washington, D.C., in the area that I was running for is Bethesda, Chevy Chase, Rockville, Potomac, Maryland, which are all highly affluent areas, highly educated areas, but predominantly white areas.
Yeah. Now, you are married to a Caucasian white gentleman.
I am.
You did not take his last name.
I did not. And after I lost the race...
He was like, I told you!
He did not say that because...
Never won the city.
He did not say that because...
You'd have killed him.
Because when we got married, we talked about it, and he really wanted me to keep my last name because that's what he knew I wanted. But other people said that. Oh, if you would have taken Matt's last name, which is Herman, you would have won. You wouldn't have lost if you would have taken your husband's last name.
Nobody should say that.
A lot of people said that to me.
That's crazy. But it is, I mean, they did that. I don't know how relevant the study is at this point in time, but they had done that study of people that submitted their resumes, same people with their South Asian or
same experience.
Name, and then with the exact same resume, but just changed the name to something more mainstream. And the response rate was wildly different. Do you believe that played a large part in why you were not reelected?
I do. I absolutely do. There, a local reporter afterwards wrote a column that said insiders speculated because her last name was complicated, she lost the race.
It's an interesting language they used there, but... What would be required to make that change?
You mean for people to be of a different mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, is that what we need people to be into? Is it an educational thing? Is it an exposure thing? This is a problem. I think that we can, it's not even worth, I guess. I mean, it's a problem. It's factual, I think, in a lot of ways. So what would be required to change that? How do we do that?
I don't know. I think it's a really interesting and difficult question, and it's a difficult conversation. Because I think a lot of people will say, "Oh, we've had the first African American president. We don't have racial problems anymore." Right. But the reality is that's not true.
Well, we talk about it sometimes. I mean, in our field, you know, I've wondered, you know, the classic question: if I was white. Now, obviously, if I was white, everything in my life up to this point would have been different, and I wouldn't necessarily be the same person I am now. But if I was, what would it be different? Would I be easier to be cast in certain things for like accessibility, marketability, and that sort of thing?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if it's necessarily just racial. Like, if I'm on a if I'm looking at a ballot and I don't know anything about politics, let's say hypothetically, I don't care about politics at all. Just hypothetically, completely. If I look at Mike Krzyzewski's last name on a ballot, a Polish last name spelled K-R-Y, there's a Z and a C in there. I'm going to be like, I don't know what that is.
Let's unpack that. Why?
So that's like, it's actually a complicated last name. And for some reason, my mind that knows nothing, and I think most of these people voting at the local levels, we're not nearly as invested as we are. And it's not, that's actually the one thing we should be invested in, but we're not as invested as we are in national elections. I remember when I voted for, the one time I voted, I voted for the president, I voted for Kerry, I remember, and then everything else, I was like, I don't know, just randomly picking. You know what I mean?
But like, why would a name, like, what about the name?
A lot of times, it's like, I remember, like, someone had a name like Homer Simpson or something, and everyone voted for him. You don't need to know anything about this guy. If I'm randomly picking, I'm going to go to any one thing that I
that
see
you
that's,
recognize
familiar
that's familiar
or, yeah.
That you identify with, maybe.
Yeah, and if I see an Indian name, realist thing, my roommate, like my old roommate, I remember four black dudes in college, one of them is a dentist, should be a Republican. I'm talking to him about Barack. If you can't tell, I love playing devil's advocate. And I'm like, you should honestly want to vote for Mitt Romney. And he just goes, yeah, but Mitt Romney doesn't look like me. That was the realest answer ever. And I was like, all right, well, I can't argue with that. So there's these little things that are kind of biases. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's like you're kind of fighting against human nature. And it might just be complicated last name.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... Who didn't vote for me, do I think everyone was racist? No. But do I think there's an unconscious bias to when you look at a set of names and you see one that looks unfamiliar? Yes.
Yeah, I think it's familiarity as much as race.
Yeah. Is that how you started working with Emerge?
So I had also started at the same time working with Emerge to get more women elected to office. And so what we do at the Emerge is we train women to run for office, and Democratic women. And
is it specifically Democratic
women? It is specifically Democratic women.
Interesting. Is it, if a rising tide lifts all boats, is it not beneficial to see women in all positions of leadership, even independent of affiliation?
I do think it's important to have women in leadership, not just in politics, but in corporate America.
I meant in politics.
Yeah. No, I know, but I think in general. Right. My personal beliefs are that a lot of, you know, my values are inherent with the Democratic Party, so that's right. Where I decide to spend my time. But do I think it's valuable to have more women in office across the board? Yes. Are there certain issues that are more important to me that I think that Democratic women might better represent? Yes.
I see. So when you guys train, do you guys seek out people? Are you like recruiting people that you would like, or are they coming to you guys?
We, a little bit of both, but yeah, we started in Maryland about 4 years ago. Emerge America is across the country in 14 plus states where we work to train and give women the tools they need to then actually run for office. So with a 9-month training session where we learn everything from fundraising to public speaking to how to fill out various surveys and questionnaires to get endorsements.
Did you do that before you ran, or did you take that training part?
When it started, it was after the time
that you had run.
But I was serving on the board and had implemented a lot of the things that we teach during that process. I mean, our campaign for a central committee position was very active in terms of mailings and knocking doors and having people staff the polls. So our campaign was very active.
So within this, how do you have time to to do what sounds like to be a pretty intensive participation in Emerge? You were also, it seems like it was an overlap. You were also like in position and you work at Microsoft full time. How are you able to manage all of that? Teach me something.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. You guys know you're on the road, you're doing your show, you're doing work.
No one's voting for me.
I think when you find things that you're passionate about and you care about, you make time, and that becomes how you spend your time. Do I wish I have more time with my friends and my family at home? Yeah, of course. But then, you know, a lot of the time I'm focused on volunteering and giving back to the community. So.
There's a question within. Fuck, I lost it. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Okay. Was it? I'm going to dive into relationship as much as you are comfortable with.
Yeah.
Was it important to you at any point to be with someone that was South Asian? Did you ever think about it in that? Did you ever have conversations with yourself of like, I'd rather be culturally or not?
To be honest, growing up, daughter of immigrants, living in California, I thought that that path to marrying South Asian, not just South Asian, but Muslim, was my only path.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought that was all my family would accept. I thought that that's kind of how it would have to be. And then I met Matt, my husband, and
great guy, by the way. I'm a big fan of Matt.
Yes, he's wonderful. And he really embodied all of the things also that my parents had taught me that they would want in a partner, someone who has, very close to his family, someone who is well-educated, someone who wanted the same things in life as I did. And he, to me, opened up the possibility of having love outside of what I thought was my destined path.
Mm.
And the first time I told my family and my dad, I think he was really sad and disappointed. But I asked him just to meet Matt. I just want to bring him home. I want you to meet him. And he did. And he saw in him all the same things that he would want for his, I have a younger sister, his daughters in someone they would want as a partner. And shortly thereafter, now today, I mean, they consider him their son.
So there was a very seamless move into just supporting, or did it take a moment?
Well, you know, once they got to know Matt, once they got to meet my in-laws and his family, yeah, and see what loving people they were, they really realized there's so much more in common. And when we got married, Matt's Catholic, and during our wedding ceremony, we had a family friend and his grandfather talk about the similarities among Catholicism and Islam.
Oh, wow.
Because there are so many more things in common than there are that divide us.
Did you guys do anything for the ceremony? Did you guys do, I don't know that much actually about the Muslim ceremony, but did you guys do something? Fusion, did you do?
We had a fusion, sort of made up our own thing. Cool. We had like any Indian wedding, had a lot of people, and we had many days of celebration. And I feel very lucky because Matt's family very much embrace Indian culture in terms of.
That's one thing we don't got in common. Number of people at a wedding.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Also, number of drunks at a wedding.
No, I think that's actually pretty common.
Is it?
I mean, similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
They embrace the food, the dress, you know, and they...
Well, actually, you know, we just interviewed this woman who was Puerto Rican, got married to a Pakistani Christian, and she was talking about how the cultural differences became really hard. And they were not the reason why that marriage ended up falling apart, but it was definitely something that they had to reconcile. Was that a process in your relationship with Matt? And did that happen before or after marriage?
I wouldn't necessarily say a process because, honestly, Matt is just so wonderful. He fits in anywhere, and so he went to India, and he's
oh cool.
He was, you know, embraced everything, and Indian families are large and loud, and he went to family weddings, and he you know, wore the traditional garb, and he just kind of blended in, even though he oftentimes was the only white guy in the room.
But he made that choice.
He did.
But yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to be your auntie for a second.
Okay.
Kids, oh, you know what's coming.
Kids, are they in the future?
So I'm 20 weeks
here
pregnant.
There we go. Hey!
Yay! So we're halfway there. So we're going to have a little boy this fall.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice. Congratulations. Yes,
thank you.
The way she paused, I was like, you just spilled a secret to her mom.
I was like, what did I do? No, I was nervous. No, that's amazing.
We wanted a family, and now we're going to have one. So
that's amazing. Beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have there been conversations around how to raise and what you know, obviously traveling to India has been a part of your life. What kind of realm, I'm not speaking well right now. What are the things that you're considering or thinking about regarding that?
Yeah. A lot of conversations, religion being one of them, but, we both want to really preserve, you know, cultural experiences, especially, knowing, you know, when having parents that grew up in India and they taught us a lot, I think over time and over generations, some of that gets lost. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, hopefully my desire to maintain a lot of that. It's like language, food, travel, so that our child can experience those things. I remember my first trip to India and how different it is there and how it's not like America and how you'd complain to your parents and they serve you milk that's hot with your cereal.
That's true, man.
Or the bathroom situation, you're not really sure. So it's, you know, it was all culturally different and learning for me. And I want our child to embrace those things as a part of him being half Indian.
That's amazing. Amazing. Are you...
This is great.
What's next from you with Microsoft? Are you happy here? Are you staying here for a while?
I am happy here. Microsoft's a wonderful company to work for. Being soon to be mother, Microsoft announced last November that they are now offering a 5-month maternity leave policy. Wow. So that's amazing. I feel very...
You got an Indian CEO now. He knows how important the mom is. He knows.
I feel very lucky. There's so many working families and moms that can't take any time off to be with their newborn. So I feel very fortunate. It's a wonderful company, cares about their employees.
That's amazing. You got any inside scoop? Should I be buying some Microsoft stock right now? Should I be jumping on that?
I will tell you, it's definitely an exciting time to be at Microsoft, especially with our new products and devices and shifting a little way, move away from just a software company to also hardware and devices.
I'm going to tell you, that Surface seems, that's y'all, right?
Yeah, that's
us. I was like, oh, man. But those commercials were really, were very effective.
That's
and
how much he don't know about Microsoft. He was like, you really thought he was going to be like, I my friend has a Surface. I'm thinking about getting one. He was like, that's Surface. You guys, the commercial was cool. It came on during football.
But it looks really convenient and very versatile.
Well, I first the one like you, mobile professional on the go, very light. It
would probably make our lives a lot easier.
It probably would.
This thing's pretty heavy that you got going on. You can't touch the screen. You know, we'll get you set up with the Surface.
There we go. Well, Mina, thank you so much for jumping on the show and sharing a little bit of your story. Are you a Twitter person? We usually allow space for if people want to reach out, but I don't know if that's really
yeah.
that you want to.
Yeah, no problem. Hit me up, Almina K.
How you spell that?
Alminak.
There you go, guys. You got no excuse.
There you go. No excuse. And you definitely have no excuse. Also, when we share this on Facebook in our normal weekly post, you have no excuse to now not move your mouse 3 inches to the right and press that share button so that we can keep growing this community and getting this podcast out as many places as possible.
Also, to Microsoft, we are available for promotions, live reads, sponsorships. Also, Apple, we have no loyalty. Whoever will send us stuff and pay us more money It doesn't take much, honestly, to buy my soul. It's not an expensive really soul to have.
I gave him a cookie the other day, and I thought he was going to propose.
Yeah, that was you. I mean, you didn't have to go there. guys, outside of that, I'm going to yell at you a little less today in case people at Microsoft are listening. Rate the podcast, please. 5 stars. Review it on iTunes or whatever podcast app is on Windows that no one uses.
Oh, Lord. Guys, we're coming back next week with another episode. It's going to be amazing. So definitely tune in next week. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we'll catch you then.
God bless.
Stop, record. Stop recording.